When the Stanley Cup playoffs come around, it's time to go big or go home.
Great moments are born from great opportunity.
We're going big with CBJ and 30 Live, presented by Telhio Credit Union. Get game previews, player and coach reactions. Plus, you can join the conversation by sending in your questions and comments at Bobby Mac Sports on Twitter.
As of right now, we're in the playoffs.
Now, to tell you like it is, as he always does, here's Bob McGilligan.
You're unbelievable.
Left side he goes. Here's Texier with a shot. And he scores!
You're so unbelievable.
The Lightning chases back into their own end to pick up the puck. But I got two words for you. Series sweep.
You're unbelievable.
Wasn't it unbelievable? I mean, it happened right in front of my eyes. It happened right there, Nationwide Arena. It happened in front of a packed building. The Blue Jackets knocked off the number one seed in the National Hockey League, the Tampa Bay Lightning. Not only knocked them off, but swept them. They did something that no team has ever done before, and that is sweep the President's Trophy winner right out of the playoffs in the very first round. It was indeed unbelievable. No question about it. Welcome to CBJ and 30 Live, presented by Telhio Credit Union. I'm Bob McElligott. Coming up a little bit later on today's show, I'll be joined by Jeff Swoboda. He is a Blue Jackets insider. He was there to cover it. His work is found on BlueJackets.com. If you haven't read it yet, maybe you should. Or maybe you don't have time. Maybe you were up all night. You didn't even have to be partying. Believe me, it was hard to sleep last night for me. It was really hard to sleep. I mean, when I came home, I turned on NHL Network, waited for the highlights to come back up, watched all the highlights, watched the analysis of the game, turned it over to ESPN, watched the analysis, listened to what everybody had to say. I mean, that was hours I spent doing that and just really trying to figure out if it happened, you know? I mean, seriously, it was a historic accomplishment. See, I can't even talk. It was a historic accomplishment by the Blue Jackets last night. They had never won a playoff series. And then to win one against the best team in the league, a team that had 62 wins that tied an NHL record, and to send them packing in the first round, which had never been done before, that is historic. And that's why I felt like Jack Buck when it was all said and done last night.
I don't believe what I just saw.
Remember Jack Buck? 1988? Yeah, maybe you don't remember. Some of you remember. Kirk Gibson hits the home run for the Dodgers to beat the A's. That's how I felt. I don't believe what I just saw, except I watched it happen over the course of four games. I watched the Blue Jackets fall behind in period one of game one, 3-0, and watched them somehow, some way, climb out of that hole and win that game 4-3. Oh, and do it in regulation, by the way, which was even more special. It wasn't like they scratched and clawed until they got it tied and then they had to go beyond regulation. No, they got it done in the third period. And they got it done with a power play goal, which was a theme throughout that entire series. The power play was terrific for the Blue Jackets in round one. Absolutely terrific. When they needed a goal and they got a power play chance, they got the goal. A power play that struggled all year. A power play that you couldn't count on hardly at all throughout the course of the season. All of a sudden, it was a great power play. Why does that happen? Who knows? Who cares? Doesn't matter. First goal they got last night was a power play goal, and it was scored by the 19-year-old rookie Alexander Texier. You know, Texier, during practice, and I'm trying to think when this was. I think it was the practice right before we left to go to Tampa. So Texier would have played two games. He would have played in New York and then played in Ottawa. So the day we left to go to Tampa, they were practicing power play penalty kill. And I want to say Dzingel was not at that practice, that he had a maintenance day. And Texier went on the second power play unit. Now, maybe that was going to happen anyway. I don't know. Maybe it has to do with the maintenance stay. I don't know. Doesn't matter at this point because Texier got on that unit. And when they were practicing, they were putting him in front of the net. And I was sitting at the top of the lower bowl, and I was sitting next to Jody Shelley. And he was watching, and he said, Texier needs to go on the half wall on the left side. It was okay. I mean, yeah, I believe you. I mean, you know better than I do. Okay. And they kept him in front of the net. Brad Larson's running the power play. And all of a sudden, Torts blows the whistle, and he comes over, and he talks to Larson. And you could see him pointing around. And then Texier is taken from the net front to the half wall on the left side. And guess what? Guess where he scored from last night? Yeah, you got it, from that spot. So it was just what my whole point about this is, it was an obvious natural fit that that's where he belonged. And he went out and he executed last night. Got the power play goal to get things started. And he did it only 2 minutes and 26 seconds into the game. Now, you talk about a great start. That's a great start. Oh, but it wasn't good enough. Because then the Blue Jackets come back with another one. The 3:48 mark, Pierre-Luc Dubois scores one. And his goal was so great. So great. Shot that misses the net, hits the end boards, bounces out the other side, and he just scoops it and puts it in. Andre Vasilevskiy has no chance. Zero chance whatsoever. And the Blue Jackets are in the driver's seat. And they are up 2-0. But then Steven Stamkos gets loose. The captain of the Lightning didn't have a single point during the series. But he changed that for himself as he got a goal and cut the lead to 2-1. But the Blue Jackets, again, resilient. Second period, Seth Jones scores to make it 3-1. But then the Lightning come back with a pair of goals. Cedric Paquette tips one in front, gets it by Bobrovsky on a point shot from Braden Coburn. That made it a 3-2 game. And then Tampa got a power play. Those were hard to come by for them during the series. They got a power play, and Braden Point scored, and all of a sudden it was a 3-3 game. And then the most important play of the game, with a minute and 14 seconds left in period number two, the Blue Jackets have a delayed power play coming. They get a sixth man on the ice. They bring the puck up the ice. Artemi Panarin goes all the way back behind his own net. He paces himself through the neutral zone into the Tampa Bay end, passes the puck off. Before you know it, it is shot toward the net. Vasilevskiy makes a stop. The puck comes off of him. It's lying in the crease, and Oliver Bjorkstrand is parked to the left of the net, bangs it home, and the Blue Jackets are back on top, and it's 4-3. And that's how they ended the second period. Tampa had the back-to-back goals. They had all the momentum, and all of a sudden, boom, gone. It was gone. And the Blue Jackets knew they had 20 minutes left to try to win the game. So they come out, and they battle. And again, they scratch and they claw, and Tampa is getting rushes up the ice. They're getting good chances, and Bobrovsky's making save after save after save. And finally, Artemi Panarin, through hard work, he and Josh Anderson, Panarin is rewarded with an empty net goal. That makes it a 5-3 game. Tampa's got to keep pulling the goaltender here, right? I mean, they have firepower. There was still enough time left that they could still maybe get to with the goaltender out. So they have to pull him again. Texier puts an empty netter in, his second goal of the game. Then they take him out again, and Matt Duchene buries it. And so the final score doesn't look as close as the game was, but the series wasn't as close as many thought it would be, yours truly included. 7-3 was the final. 4-0, the series sweep, and the Blue Jackets move on. And this is so big for guys that have been around here for a long time and have been trying to get to this point. And it's not over. It's only just begun. But there are players here, Brandon Dubinsky, Cam Atkinson, David Savard. They've been here a long time. Sergei Bobrovsky, been here a long time, trying to change the fortunes of this franchise, trying to gain respect in the NHL. And they finally not only just gained respect, I think they shocked the world. And everybody is watching them now. And even though they're still the lower seed, don't be surprised if they are no longer the hunter and they are the hunted. Because whoever plays them next, be it Toronto or Boston, is well aware of what the Blue Jackets just did. And they know that they're going to have to deal with a very tough and now playoff-tested team. Well, I mentioned all those guys that have been here for a long time. I omitted one name, and I did it on purpose, because you're going to hear from him right now. And I'm talking about Blue Jackets captain Nick Foligno, who I caught up with after last night's game.
Nick, what's What are the emotions right now for somebody that's been through this with this group for a long time?
I'm just happy for this organization. I mean, that's just one step in the right direction and long time coming for the fans, for this group. I mean, we've battled like crazy all year long, and to beat a good team like Tampa in the first round the way we did, I'm just so proud of these guys. And it's job's not done, though. I mean, we're going to enjoy this because we deserve to enjoy this, but we got to make sure we get ready to go because it's only a quarter way done, I guess. My math is kind of fuzzy right now.
What about the resiliency you guys had tonight? Every time they came back and got into the game, you were able to get right back ahead.
Well, we knew this was going to be the hardest one. You know, they're going to give us everything. I mean, they need to get this hat back home, and we didn't want that to happen, obviously. So I'm just so proud of the guys for never panicking, understanding the surges in the game. And every time they seemed to answer, we answered right back. You know, it's huge. It's a huge way to do it. And so proud of every guy tonight and the way they played and the way they handled themselves and all series long, really.
This is a, we always talk about games being total team wins. This series was a complete team win, wasn't it? Everybody was involved somehow, some way.
Had to be. It had to be. It couldn't be just one line or two lines to beat that team. It had to be everybody. All four, all D, and especially Bob. I mean, he made some huge saves again tonight. And just, it's nice to be able to celebrate that one, too, with the fans, you know, and then just seeing their reaction and just how happy these guys are. I mean, we, you know, Doobie and I have been here, and Cam, I guess, have been here the longest, and you know, it's just so nice to be able to share that with them and then all the other guys that have come along here, and it's been a lot of fun.
And for Bob, you're so close with him, and the fact that, you know, it was about you guys not making the second round of the playoffs, but it was for him too individually, and he's worn that for a long time. How good do you feel for him to kind of get that off his back?
Well, all of us. I mean, we've been in this together. It's not just Bob. I mean, I haven't made it past the first round either, so it's just an awesome feeling because you know you're moving on and you're having a chance, and that's all we want to do is give ourselves a chance. Like, by the way we played, that's got to be the recipe the rest of the go here. So we're thrilled for Bob, just in that he's playing outstanding and giving us a chance, and then thrilled for our team because I think we're playing really well in front of them, and it's been a real good kind of you have our back, we'll have yours, and it's just great to see.
Total team effort from the Blue Jackets. And again, you're still kind of left saying, where'd it come from? I mean, where did it come from? They were sputtering at times. And again, though, they did win 7 of their last 8, right? So, not a complete fluke by any means. Not by any means. All right, before I go to break, I want you to hear from David Savard, the grizzled veteran who was just so instrumental in getting things done in this series.
I mean, we have a tight group. We've been through some up and down this year, and, you know, it got us to get closer together. And, you know, I think it's great for them to see the feeling of obviously winning, but see that crowd when we're winning games here in playoff. And, you know, you just want to get to the playoff every year now because, you know, it gets buzzing and the city gets buzzing. And, you know, the fact that we got that first series, it's great for the city.
David, when did it click? I mean, just go back a couple of weeks ago, you guys didn't even know if you were going to get in. Then you do get in and you get the second wild card spot to where everybody on the outside says that's the absolute worst thing that could have happened to you. And you guys just made it look easy. When did it click in? When did the belief factor happen? Is it just recently or has it been there all along?
I mean, we knew we had a good team. I think we just needed to figure it out how we needed to play as a group. You know, there's a lot of moving pieces that came in, and we switched lines, pairings a lot this year and trying to figure out the best scenario. But I think it kind of came all together. Obviously, the last few games of the season, we were playing really well, and, you know, we tried to just carry it into the playoff, and obviously, I think everybody played really well.
You've played with Nutavara for so long, then he's out of the lineup. Dean Kukin steps up and plays with you. How good was he on that pairing with you? Because it looked like it was a seamless transition.
Yeah, he was awesome. You know, I played with him in the past, and such a great skater, easy to play with, and, you know, he talks a lot on the ice, so he made that switch really easy. But, you know, whenever somebody goes down, somebody has to step up, and I think he did in a huge way.
And Adam Clendenning was playing in Cleveland a couple of weeks ago. Here he is with 2 Stanley Cup games under his belt. He's got a point, and I know you feel good for a veteran guy like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. He's been around for a while, and, you know, he grinded out, and he played really well down there, and he got his shot here. And, you know, it's always fun to see a guy perform like this, and I think he played really well the 2 games.
It was really impressive watching you in that series, honestly. It was fun to watch. You did a great job. Wish you nothing but the best. Congratulations. Enjoy this and get ready to move on.
Thank you.
You need somebody to grind it out. Look for number 58 because he's going to grind it out for you, no doubt. Coming up in just a bit, we'll hear from Jeff Swoboda. He is the Blue Jackets insider, but I've got more about last night's win, 7-3 for the Blue Jackets over the Lightning, sweeping the first round Stanley Cup playoff series as we continue with CBJ and 30 Live presented by Telhio Credit Union.
It was only a matter of time before we got to this position. And like I said, we're not done yet. There's the hardest work ahead of us, but everyone contributed the whole series, and that's huge for us.
That is Cam Atkinson of the Blue Jackets. Long time coming for Cam. I talked to him yesterday before the game, and you know, it's different for Cam Atkinson now. I mean, he's not just a player playing in a city. He's moved here. He's got a family now. He's part of the fabric of Columbus. And he understands. He gets it. No doubt about it. Great run by the Blue Jackets in the first round. Just getting things started, as Atkinson said. They sweep the Tampa Bay Lightning and now get ready for round two. And tonight we'll get a better idea of who the Blue Jackets might face in round two, because Toronto and Boston resume their series. The Toronto Maple Leafs lead that series 2-1. And we'll wait until later in the week before I tell you all about what I think is the best idea for the Blue Jackets and who is the best team that they should face and all that stuff. But right now I want to tell you about Telhio Credit Union, because, you know, is the Blue Jackets celebrate this victory and do something that they have never done before? Well, Telhio Credit Union has been doing the same thing for over 80 years, and that is taking care of their members. That is putting people over profits, and that is going above and beyond. They've done that every day that they've been in existence. That's why they've been in existence for so long. That's how they take care of their customers. That's what they do. And you could be one of those customers. You could be one of those members of Telhio Credit Union. Now, if you're saying to yourself, well, why should I join a credit union? You know, what's the difference there? Why? What's the benefits to me? What are the benefits to me? Well, all those answers are in one place. Online, telhio.org. Just go there. Surf through the website. Click on the tabs. Your questions will be answered one after the other after the other. And if you can't find an answer, or if you just don't have time to go through all of it right at that moment, just click on the live chat button and a screen will pop up and you'll be able to converse with somebody that will help you out and tell you why Telhio is right for you. You can also just stop by one of their many offices around town and you can ask a person. That's acceptable as well. Telhio Credit Union is open to everyone in central and southwestern Ohio. They are federally insured by NCUA. John Tortorella, how big of a difference was he in this series? I'll bet you if you ask the Tampa Bay Lightning fans and ask the Tampa Bay Lightning media, they'll tell you he was a pretty big factor, because they've already seen it done. They've seen him do it before, back in 2004 when he led the Lightning to the Stanley Cup. And Torts is a guy, as I've told you about time and time again, it's not always about X's and O's. It's hardly ever about X's and O's with John Tortorella. He challenges his players. He challenges them to be more than they think they are. He challenges them to do their very best every second of the game. He challenges them just to be better people as well as players. That's what he does. That's what he is really, really good at. And after the game last night, Torts admitted that he sees that growth within his team. He sees them growing up, not just physically, not just the way they play hockey, but just growing up as people.
I think if there is a belief that you can get things done as a team, I think it's very important when you're probably, you know, skill-wise, and, you know, let's face it, Tampa had just an unbelievable regular season, and we were matched up against them, but you can get so many things accomplished if you just have that belief as a team to do things the right way. We adjusted a little bit in how we play. I think the guys, after a very rough first period in the first game, really actually just the last 10 minutes of that first period, I just thought they just hung in there, and I'm happy for them because they played as a team and they had a tremendous amount of will. That's mental. That's not a talent. That's not physical skills. That is a mental toughness. And that's what I'm thrilled about, for those guys to enjoy themselves now is what they're doing in that locker room, to really feel like they willed themselves, but also knowing there's more to come here.
No doubt. And again, you could just hear it in his voice. That's what he loves. He loves to make people stronger mentally. And why wouldn't you love to do that? Listen, in today's world, if you are not mentally strong, where are you going? You're going to be crying in a corner. Let's be honest about it, okay? And mentally strong sometimes means being challenged in ways that you don't like to be challenged in. It's about being uncomfortable so that you can then find a way to get comfortable. And today's culture goes against that a lot. But John Tortorella has done this for his entire career. It is who he is. And he's not going to change. And I'm sure that there are plenty of days during the regular season when his players are sick and tired of hearing what he has to say. I'm sure there are plenty of days they would rather be anywhere else than in his presence. I'm sure of it. That's just life. Tell me you go to work every day and you love being around the people that you work with. You love being around your boss every single day. If you can tell me that and be honest about it, I'll still call you a liar because it's not possible. We're all human. But for as much as he may drive his players crazy during the regular season, and he talks about this all the time, it's kind of him against them in some ways throughout the regular season because he's challenging them, he's trying to make them better, and he's making them better in ways they don't even know at the time. But then, as it goes on, he's with them. And right now, he is with them. They are in sync. And you know what's really important? Is that they know that he is with them. They get it. They know him well enough. They've seen it. For a lot of these guys, they've watched it play out year after year after year. And it's the third time that they've gotten into the playoffs. I wouldn't be surprised if there are some guys that because they know that he eventually gets with you and not against you, there are probably some guys that can't wait until the time of the year when he's finally with them because it's got to be much more enjoyable. But he's making them better. He's making them better as players. He's making them better as people. He's made this organization better because he's made the players better and because they've played better and they've represented better in the whole nine yards. And again, John Davidson, Jarmo Kekalainen, Bill Zito, every scout that has had any input. What about the scouts that found Texier? Seriously. What about whoever did that? What about the development guys over in Europe? Jarkko Ruutu. What about those guys that worked with him before he ever came over here? Everybody shares in it. Everybody should enjoy it. But again, the best is yet to come. That's the way the Stanley Cup playoffs are set up. It's great to win. You got to win three more times. And if you do, then certainly the best is yet to come. Coming up next, I'm going to talk with Blue Jackets insider Jeff Swoboda as we continue with CBJ and 30 Live presented by Telhio Credit Union.
The buzz in the city is going to be unbelievable. I can't even imagine how much louder the building can get, but I know it's going to be louder in the second round.
Blue Jackets defenseman Seth Jones, oh, he's right. It's going to be louder. He's also right when he says he doesn't know how it's going to be louder. I don't either, but oh, my. My ears were hurting last night, even after I got home, hours after the game, and I had my headsets on during the game. So it was amazing. It was outstanding. Let's do our live interview here today. It's being brought to you by the Greater Columbus Kia Dealers and the new 2019 Kia Sorento. Conquer your mountain. I'm joined by Blue Jackets insider Jeff Swoboda right now. His work can be found at BlueJackets.com. Jeff, did you sleep last night?
I tell you what, the funny thing was, after I got home, I went and watched the highlights through the NHL app or whatever it is on my Roku or whatever I have set up on my TV. And it's just to watch the highlights again and again. I probably watched it three or four times after I got home. The whole condensed game again, and you can see that also at BlueJackets.com. To just see, I mean, what a game and what a night. I mean, just the ebbs and flows of the evening from the incredible start to the lightning goals to the way the Blue Jackets finished it off. It's crazy to just kind of see it over and again and imagine that actually happened in Columbus. It was just incredible.
Yeah, it's again, I was saying that earlier in the show. It's like, did we really see that? I mean, did it happen or was that a dream? Because, look, just go back to the end of the regular season. You're battling to try to get in, and then you get in, and you don't get the first wild card spot, and you know, it seems like that is the kiss of death. But the Blue Jackets turned that into such a blessing. And it's not even that they won the series for me, Jeff. It's the way they won the series. I mean, you cannot be more impressed by the way this team went out and played game after game after game after game.
No, you're completely right. And I said that to talking to some people in the press box during the game. And, you know, even in the previous seasons when the Blue Jackets won playoff games, it was you'd have to win it overtime, or you kind of almost feel like you had to hold on for dear life. And, you know, there was a feeling of holding on for dear life in game three when it was a one-goal game there, when it was 4-3 for that entire third period. But, you know, by and large, this was a four-game sweep. This was a series where the Blue Jackets looked, you know, the best regular season NHL team, you know, over the last 20 years, you know, in the face. And just took it to them for four games. It was just took every storyline and turned it on their head. And that was what was so incredible about the whole thing, was just how well they played, how consistently they played. It didn't matter what happened, whether it was good or bad. You know, they just kept going, and they were relentless almost. You expected Tampa Bay at times to just push and be a team that was just going to, you know, throw, you know, kind of that team that won 62 games, throw it back at the Blue Jackets and really carry play for long stretches of time. And it just never happened, where the Blue Jackets just said, you know, we've got this no matter what happened. And that was what was so impressive about it, was just the way that they were consistent. And, you know, in sports, you know, coaches always say, no matter what happens, good or bad, you know, put it behind you and just keep playing. And it's easy to say that, and it makes sense, but to actually do it is so difficult. And that's what the Blue Jackets did for 240 minutes of hockey. And it was just sort of so impressive to watch, because, you know, it's a team that you want to see, and but you just rarely see it happen where everything comes together like it did for this team over the last four games.
And the thing that's even more amazing about it is when you were talking about all that stuff, you're absolutely right, but I was thinking back to the first period of game one, and I remember when that intermission hit, and I remember putting my headsets down and kind of glumly walking out into the press area to get a drink. And, you know, the Tampa people are all smiles and they're all happy, and as well they should have been. They were up 3-0. They made it look easy. It looked like the three regular season games where Tampa was able to impose their will on the Blue Jackets every time they had the puck. And it really felt like, well, this is going to be a short series, but not the way that it was. That's what I'm still so impressed by. You know, we could talk about the fact that they won four games in a row, and that's really impressive, but how did they ever recover from the first period of game one and come back and win that game 4-3? That's obviously was the trigger to the whole thing, because once they did that, then it was like, you know, you go from, hey, I think we can win, to, oh, I know we can win. And that changed the whole thing. But I still, for the life of me, looking back at that game, I can't believe that when I got into the elevator to go down from the press box that night, I said at least five times to Manny Legacy, the goaltending coach I was with, I said, seriously, did we just win that game? How do we win that game? What happened in that game? That's what makes it so much even more amazing to me.
No, that is an excellent point, and that is, it is really crazy to think how it started. I mean, Tampa Bay looked like the Tampa Bay of the regular season in the first 20 minutes of the series, and you felt like, oh wow, this is why they're this good, because, you know, when they put the pedal to the metal, they were better than everyone for the last for the entire regular season, and again for the last 20 years. No one scored goals as easily and won games as easily as Tampa Bay did. And so when they did it for the first 20 minutes, as you said, you kind of felt like, okay, so this is, you know, if they play like this, you're not going to be able to win this series. But, yeah, a switch sort of flipped. You know, obviously, if you're looking for two turning points, the Bobrovsky save on that power play early in the second period of game one, where Kucherov pretty much, you know, if he scores, it's 4-0. And, you know, they're probably not going to come back from that. But Bobrovsky makes a save. And then Nick Foligno scores the breakaway goal, where if he doesn't score that goal, you're thinking, well, you know, we had a chance. That was our good chance, really, to get back into it. It didn't happen, but it did happen. But what's kind of interesting about that is talking to Matt Duchene after the game last night, he actually said that 3-0 actually sort of freed them up, which is sort of crazy, and it's easy to say in hindsight. I'm sure at the time, they're not sitting in the locker room like, oh, hey, thank goodness we're now 3-0. But he said that the fact that it was 3-0 and not 1-0 or whatever, it really lifted the burden off of them, because all they could do was just at that point go out and play. You know, they couldn't hold anything back. You know, they took Tampa Bay's best shot the first 20 minutes of that series, and the only thing they could do at that point was just go play hockey. And then they did that for the next 11 periods. And, I forget exactly what the number was, but just, you know, blew them out of the water at that point. And so it's sort of incredible that the turning point was being dialed 3-0. But that's pretty much what they said happened is, you know, once they took their best shot, they were like, okay, well, let's just go out there and do it. And that's exactly what they did. And as I said, no matter what happened from that point on, whether it was good, bad, or indifferent, they took it and they put it behind them and they just kept playing hockey And if you, you know, if you watch this team throughout the year, you know, it, sometimes, well, bad things didn't really multiply, but sometimes, you know, this team would score a goal and then the other, the next shift was just totally at their net where, you know, it would get good to them a little bit, that phrase the Torts would use so often. And that's what's so impressive is it's like a switch flipped with this team that no matter what happened for those last 220 minutes, it didn't bother them. And it was incredible to watch.
Have you ever seen that Twitter account, Bad Hockey Coach?
I have not, no.
Okay, so they put ridiculous things on there. And as you were talking, I was thinking that would be the perfect thing for Bad Hockey Coach. Fall behind 3-0 in the first period. That's the way to go. You know?
Yeah.
Like you're advising that. Hey, you know what? I think if we can get down by 3, we'll be in great shape. Let's go, boys. Talking with Jeff Svoboda. His work is at BlueJackets.com. He is a Blue Jackets insider. Okay, what are you going to do now for the next couple of days? Because we don't know who the next opponent is. It's either going to be Toronto or Boston. That series resumes tonight. What kind of stuff are you going to have on BlueJackets.com?
We'll have a couple of different things. You know, it was funny as the third period was going on. Obviously, other than biting your nails to just can this team hold on through the last 20 minutes, I was thinking of, like, what am I going to write over the next couple of days? But I'm excited about just kind of things about how this team has grown over the last four games and just what, you know, what this kind of means for the franchise and for the organization. And a couple cool features as well that I've kind of thought of. One thing I did that was inspired by a buddy of mine who, if you happened to be at the game last night or maybe saw some pictures online, someone that I know wore the Mike Commodore bathrobe to the game. So I'm kind of, you know, just different things. And if fans want to reach out to me who happen to be listening, just different. I want to do a story about why fans wore certain things to the game, especially jerseys or old jerseys or, you know, what did it kind of mean? You know, as you're looking at game four and what could be a historic moment, why did you pull the Jeff Sanderson jersey off the shelf? Or why did you pull the Kevin Denis jersey off the shelf? So kind of different things like that. But it's incredible to kind of be in this situation. It's never happened before where you get a chance. And it's probably going to be about 10 days until the next game. And then even longer for the next home game. It's kind of incredible. And it'll be interesting to see how this team handles that. But, you know, who cares? It's great to just be in that situation where you actually have to kill time and sit there and maybe eat some popcorn and see what the next opponent's going to be.
All right, so if you want to get in touch with Jeff and let him know why you wore what you wore or why you didn't wear something, you can find him on Twitter at Jackets Insider. I am so glad that you are now a fashion guru because that tells me everything is good in Blue Jackets world. If you don't have to write about hockey in the next series starting right away and you're writing about bathrobes and jerseys, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, no, it's kind of an incredible situation, but it's crazy what happened over these last four games. It's been incredible to watch, and as you said, coming out of the break here, to hear the fans, especially you know the deafening nature of that arena over the last two games, and especially the last 2 minutes, you know, 19 years of frustrations coming out. You know, it's like you're going to be a cloud nine for the last 10 days of just anywhere you go and want to talk about the Blue Jackets. Going to be, well, how about the Blue Jackets? And this franchise and this team and this fan base so deserves it. It's going to be fun to watch over these next little bit. I'm excited to see what the city's going to be like because for as excited as you are for the start of the playoffs, now that you've won around, if people are just going to head over heels over this, and they should be.
Yeah, every conversation you have over the course of the next week or so or hopefully the next couple of months is going to be different from every Blue Jackets conversation you have ever had in your life. Jeff, thank you so much. Appreciate you taking the time this morning.
All right, thanks, Bob.
Jeff Svoboda, he is the Blue Jackets insider. You can find his work at BlueJackets.com. And this interview brought to you by your Greater Columbus Kia dealers. Coming up next, I'm going to show you how smart I am. And don't worry, it's not going to take long. This is CBJ and 30 Live, presented by Telhio Credit Union.
I've been fortunate enough to be in some pretty big games and loud buildings. Man, that building, that was just unbelievable. So I'm thrilled for not only the people that have followed the team, but also the people in the organization here, too.
Blue Jackets head coach John Tortorella. Everybody's thrilled today in some way, shape, or form. Blue Jackets win their first round series. They sweep the Tampa Bay Lightning, something that had never been done. Never been done. President's Trophy team getting swept in the first round. Never happened. It has happened now. All right. It's time for me to show you how smart I am. I'm going to take you back to March the 6th. We were in Pittsburgh. It was a day off in between games against New Jersey and the Penguins. And it was a Wednesday, which meant that we had the inside edge on Wednesday night. And I got together with Pittsburgh radio talk show host Mark Madden, who is an avid Penguins guy. But we just got together and talked hockey that day. And one of the things we talked about was playoff scenarios in which teams had the best chance to get to where everybody wants to go. All right? Now, I'm not going to tell you that I predicted the Blue Jackets would be able to knock off the Lightning in the first round. But I can tell you, with evidence to back it up, I can tell you that I did predict the Lightning would not win the Stanley Cup. If you don't believe me, here's the evidence the day I talked with Mark Madden.
Let me ask you this question, because everybody just seems that it's a foregone conclusion the Tampa Bay Lightning are going to win the Stanley Cup this year. There are still weeks to play in the regular season. The playoffs are a different animal. I know they've been terrific, no question about it. They're the best team in the league right now today by far, but do they have everything it takes?
I have this saying I'm fond of using, Bob, and I'll apply it to the Tampa Bay Lightning. Whatever it is they never had, they still haven't got. They won't win the Stanley Cup. They won't make it out of the East. There's just something about them that doesn't strike me as battle-tested as it should be. I think Vasilevsky's the most talented goalie in hockey, but I think he needs to win something before we say he's the best. I don't know. It's hard to pick against them, but it's hard for me to pick them as well. If you ask me to rate the favorites in the Eastern Conference, I would say Washington 1, Tampa 2, but a more precarious 2 than you would think.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And because when you get into a best-of-seven series, and now you're facing the same team every day, and you're really, you know, it's not like you get a New Jersey one day, and then you're getting an Arizona the next day. You've got to go up against that team. And I think Washington really proved last year, if you could get to them and start getting the body on them and playing physical with them. Now, they're quick. You got to catch them first. But I think that's the key to them, to start wearing them down.
Yeah, I think so. That said, I mean, I really like Tampa's team. I don't mean to sell them short, but a lot of their success is based on the power play too, Bob. You look at the goals by Point and Stamkos. You know, I think Point, over half his goals are on the power play, and Stamkos is pretty close. There's going to be less power plays in the playoffs. That'll keep Cooch's production down as well.
You know, Mark Madden calls himself the super genius, and it's hard to disagree with him because he was dead on. He was right. And so was I. I told you they wouldn't win the Stanley Cup. They didn't even get out of the first round. They didn't even win a game. They now have a 6-game playoff losing streak, the Tampa Bay Lightning does. I should have Mark Madden on the show, and I might, to talk about the Penguins, who also were dispatched in the first round last night. The Islanders completed a series sweep, winning in Pittsburgh 3-1. So the Penguins are done, and they've got a lot of questions as they plan for the future in that organization. You know, their core's getting old. They probably have to change their style of play. Once upon a time, they were young and quick. Now they're older, and they need to be more structured. So they're gone. They're out. Winnipeg played in St. Louis last night. The game went to overtime with the Jets winning 2-1. The road team has won every game in that series. It's tied at 2 games apiece. And the San Jose Sharks, they used both goalies. They got nothing done. The Vegas Golden Knights just throttled them last night. Score was 5-0. Vegas gets the win. The other series resumed tonight. I've told you that Boston and Toronto will play once again. They are in Toronto. The Maple Leafs lead that series 2-1. Toronto won games 1 and won game 3 as well. Boston, we'll see if they can bounce back as they did in game 2. The Nashville Predators are in Dallas tonight. Nashville leads that series 2-1. And the Colorado Avalanche, how about the Avalanche? They get an overtime win in Game 2 against Calgary. Then they have a convincing Game 3 win, and they have a 2-1 lead in that series. Don't forget, the Calgary Flames, the best in the West. They have the highest point total in the Western Conference. They have home ice all the way through. Colorado is the number 8 seed there. They are trying to do exactly what the Blue Jackets just finished doing, and that is slaying the giant, if you will. So now the waiting begins. And the waiting is not a bad thing, especially for, in my opinion, not for guys like David Savard, Seth Jones, Zach Werenski, who logged incredibly high minutes in the 4 games against the Tampa Bay Lightning. The other thing I can't wait to see is who's coming next. I mean, Alexander Texier comes in here out of nowhere. He comes from Europe, to Cleveland, to Columbus. He's got 3 goals now, 2 in the playoffs. The team hasn't lost a game with him in the lineup. Vladislav Gavrikov has been signed. Russian defenseman, played in the KHL, an older guy. He's, what, 25 years old? When they get his work visa, he's going to come in here. I would imagine he's going to go right into the lineup. That'll be another interesting situation with a guy that nobody knows. I mean, the players don't necessarily know him and what he can do. The management does. The scouting staffs, well, they do. They know what he is. And that's why he'll end up coming in here and more than likely getting into the lineup. But the guys that have been doing the job, Adam Clendenning was so impressive to me these last 2 games. To get put into that situation where, and I know he's a guy that's played in the NHL, you know, he's been an up-and-down guy throughout his career, but he stepped in those 2 games, and he had limited minutes, but he made the most of those limited minutes. And you could say the same thing about Scott Harrington. You can say the same thing about Dean Kukin. Total team effort. That's how the Blue Jackets won that series. Total team. And Nick Foligno said it earlier in the show. He said it had to be that way. That was the only way they would have won. They did win. They sweep the Lightning 4-0 and get ready to move on. Well, tonight, Jody Shelley and I will get together for the Inside Edge. You'll be able to hear that on the flagship station of the Blue Jackets Radio Network, 97.1 The Fan. You can also hear it on the Blue Jackets app and at BlueJackets.com. And our guest tonight is going to be Blue Jackets General Manager Jarmo Kekäläinen. Very happy man, as well he should be. I mean, he put it all on the line at the trade deadline, and a lot of people were questioning what he did. They are questioning it no more. 7 o'clock, the Inside Edge tonight with Jody Shelley and I. Until then, that's going to wrap things up for CBJ and 30 Live, presented by Telhio Credit Union. Thanks for listening, and make sure you keep staying tuned all day, all week. Until tonight, I'm Bob McElligott saying so long.